In Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And so we've been looking at the subject of home on the rock, building our homes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've chosen different subjects. This goes back to a series I taught 23 years ago, I guess it was, maybe longer than that, maybe 25 years ago, when we first got in the first building. And God blessed, and we grew by 100 drive-in that year. And that one Sunday school class filled up and had about 120, and then we started dividing it up and getting other adult Sunday school classes going. But we want to teach about the home. Now, we've talked about rearing children. Last time we talked about raising adolescents, which we'd call junior age or preteen. And tonight we're looking at the subject of raising teenagers. And so I have three things I want to share, as well as a bunch of sub-points. But we want to talk about giving your teenagers discipline, dealing with teenagers. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the teaching. I've limited myself to 25 or 30 minutes, and as you know, I'm praying for a miracle. So you know how that goes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, and we thank you for your Son. And thank you for this time we can assemble together, and we love you, Lord. Teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get into this, I realize we have teenagers with us. So let me say, if I say one thing and your parents believe another thing, you follow your parents because they are the ones before God accountable to you. And you might be here as a teenager and say, "I don't have perfect parents." Well, neither did I. I had really, really good ones. By the way, I was not a perfect parent, and no one is a perfect parent, and you're not a perfect teenager either. We're just a bunch of flawed people trying to have a happy home and trying to do what we know how to do for Jesus. That's it. And so we're going to work at things. We're going to get better. We're going to improve. But never expect nor hold your parents to a flawless example. Because Jesus was the only one that ever was that. I want to say, first of all, give your teenager discipline. Give your teenager discipline. Now, as I speak on that, I want to say, first of all, this is not physical discipline. The days of spanking are long gone when they're a teenager. That might be okay for your children. A few times, maybe during the junior years, but not during the teenage years. You've got to figure out a way to bring discipline in their life, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But do not make this the idea that you will now start teaching your teenager. You're starting to train your teenager as you train an adult. And as an adult, you may break the rules, but nobody's going to bend you over their knee. "Oh, you were speeding, police officer. Come over. Lay on my lap now. I got my paddle here." No. That's not how it happens. Now, you may wish when you got the fine that you got the spanking. You may wish. "Man, how many hundreds of dollars is this? Just spank me and I won't do it anymore." But no, those days are gone, you see, because you're getting to treat a teenager like an adult. It's that transition. They're more adult than child as a teenager. They have more of the physical strength of an adult than of a child. They have more of the intellectual know-how. In fact, when you were a teenager, that's when you knew it all. See? And so they're at that age where they know it all. I don't know, but when you get older, it starts seeping out. It starts going in one ear and out the other, and you lay down, all that wisdom drains out. But right now, they got it all. I'm just kidding. But the truth is, they are more intellectually adult than they are a child. They are wiser. than they've ever been. They're stronger than they've ever been. They're more social aware of things than they ever have been. They're more self-conscious about themselves than they ever have been. They're more self-conscious about others than they ever have been. They are becoming an adult. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 tells us this: "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It says, provoke not your children to wrath. And many times, as a teenager, it's not that you're going to pick them up and bend over my knee or spank them. It's not that. But if you're not careful, you correct them in public. You know, when you get corrected as an adult, your boss doesn't get on the intercom and tell everyone your problem. They invite you to their office and they shut the door and they're going to talk to you one-on-one. And that's the way you need to treat your teenager. You may have to say, now listen, son, when we get home, you and I are going to have a talk. And they'll know what it is. It's no paddling, but they'll wish. How many understand that sometimes your parents talk to you, wish they'd just whipped you? I mean, you wish you just got a spanking, but boy, those talks. It's like, oh man, I feel so small. I feel so bad. I hurt my father. I hurt my mother. I don't want to do that. And so you deal with it, but don't provoke them to wrath. And many times we are well-meaning. Well, I'm still correcting. Yeah, but they're not a child. They're an adult on their way to be an adult. And you need to correct them more in private. Colossians chapter 3 verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged. Now you say, well, they're a teenager. They're not a child. But keep in mind, in the ancient world, you weren't considered a man till you were at least 30. Remember, that's when Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30. So how do you know they're children, or how do you know they're considered that in a biblical sense? As long as they live under your roof. As long as they live under your roof, they have to sort of abide by your rules. But at the same time, you don't discourage them. You don't provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't get them mad. You know, we're living in a day where a lot of teenagers don't live in their own home. And many times it's because they did wrong. They did. But their parents were wrong in how they handled it. Because they were raised up with a generation like you and I were, those my age and older, and we knew it was my way or the highway. When you get to the place you don't obey my rules, there's the door. How many ever heard that one? Well, when you were my age, that's what... But we don't do that anymore because we found that too many went to the door and kept on going. That wasn't good parenting advice. And so sometimes a teenager does wrong. By the way, if you lived through your teenage years and you did not do wrong, I'd like to shake your hand when this virus is over. I'll shake your hand then. But that's pretty amazing. Now, I understand you didn't tell everyone the wrong you did, but somebody knows what's going on. And so the thing is, our parents could have handled that wrong. When I was 16 years old, I had a cousin that passed away at 17 years of age. No, I was 15. He was 17, and he passed away. He was working that summer for utilities. He got in those trenches, and that was before they used to put the metal protection inside those trenches. And the moisture got into that, and it collapsed on him. And before they could dig him out, he was dead. 17 years of age. All of our families, all of our relatives went to the funeral. I asked my father if I could go for a drive. I was 15 years old. I had my driver's license. But I didn't have a car. I had my father's car. And he said, yes, son, you can. He gave me the keys. And I'm going. And my, I had a cousin, and she just got her driver's license. She said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going for a drive." "Oh, can I go with you?" "No." Who wants her cousin go? "No, you can't. I'm just going for a drive." And she said, "Well, I got my driver's license." I said, "Good." She got her father's key. I was driving, and she's following me. I speed up. She speeds up. I'm trying to get her lost. I'm trying to lose her. So I speed up faster. I'm on country roads. I go across the bridge, and there's a turn. And I get across that bridge, and the car I'm in starts going like this. Whoa! Gravel is scattered across the asphalt, and the tires start sliding on that gravel. Finally, I pass that section, and it's clear, and I said, "Whew, that's good." But I look back in the mirror, and I see my cousin go, "Whoo!" off the road, airborne off the road. Her parents' brand new Bel Air Buick. She went off the road, hit some rocks, tore out the engine, the transmission. She's okay. Now I have to take her back to the funeral home and explain how this happened. "Dad, I was driving so slow, and all of a sudden I saw my cousin just so fast. What was she thinking?" No, that's not the story I could tell. I had to go back to a funeral home where all my cousins and aunts and uncles in sorrow, and we just destroyed a brand new car. That was not the finer moments of my whole life. Other than that, I was a pretty good kid. My father did not speak to me for 3 days. Because I just thought I'd be dead when I got home. He's going to kill me. And after 3 days, he set me down and said, "Now, you know that was wrong." "Yeah, I did. I've been thinking about it for 3 days. I knew that was wrong." And I often thought the wisest thing my father ever did is he waited till he cooled down, and it took 3 days before he talked to me. And I thought, that's the kind of parent I want to be. I don't want to be one of these angry parents that discipline out of anger. Never let that be the case. If you have to cool down, don't deal with it then. You let them know you'll deal with it later, but deal with it wisely. Do not make it physical discipline. Secondly, take away some choices. By taking away choices, I don't mean use the word ground. Don't ground them for any extended period of time. And don't usually say, "I'm going to ground you for this or that." By the way, teenagers usually like to be ground because now in their room they do everything. They get on the phone, they got the whole world at access to them. That's no punishment. "I'm grounding you. You're in your room." "Thank you, Dad. Can I do that again?" "No, get out of your room." Now that's the way to ground them. You got to stay out of your room. You provide grounding instead. Add chores to perform. Have them work on projects until it's completed. Have them miss an activity that they might enjoy. Work on something they would not enjoy. Clean out the garage. Weed around the house. Paint the fence. Wash all the windows around the house. Wash the cars inside and out. Clean out the ditch. Just think of something to keep them busy as a form of punishment. Take away some choices. Thirdly, I want to say, don't keep them from church attendance or church activities. You say, "Well, they've negated themselves from going to a teen outing." Listen, the church and everything that teen pastor has figured out is to help you raise your child. When you keep that child away from those activities, you are hurting your own family and hurting your own child. Because the teenagers you want them associated with are the best teenagers in church, which always go to every activity. The best teenagers in church go to those activities. You want them around that. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is going to tell us. Are they awake up there? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is going to tell us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't let them miss church. Don't let them forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Church will never hurt your home. It will help your home. It will help your home. Church will make you a better father, a better husband, a better mother, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better parent. It's going to help you. God's Word is going to help us be the best we can be, and that's the same thing for your children, the same thing for your teenagers. Don't keep them away from church. Have them talk with their youth pastor. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, mom's a counselor, dad's a counselor, youth pastor, that's a counselor. Sunday school teacher, that's a counselor. Maybe a deacon of the church, that's a counselor. Maybe a godly lady of the church, that's a counselor. Maybe the pastor or the pastor's wife, that would be a counselor. Maybe your school teacher, that's a counselor. The multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And then Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So let them ask questions. Let them talk with the youth pastor. Let me just say this. I think it's wise sometimes to let your children know you're not the only source of wisdom. Even if they're asking you a question that you could easily answer, direct them to spiritual guides. Because they're going to need that all their life. You're going to need that all your life. And so don't always be the single source of wisdom. Because parents, you and I are not going to live forever. And they're going to have to learn this process of going and getting counsel from other people. So first of all, give your teenagers discipline. And then secondly, give your teenagers help with their appearance. Help with their appearance. Now, I said this for adolescents, and you've got to start training them early. But help as a teenager. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, Daniel chapter 1. There we are. Thank you very much. I keep interrupting their checker game. I know it. It was their move, and now they got to put up a verse. That's fine. Sometimes that computer's been freezing up on us. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, Daniel was speaking for him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, give us vegetables and give us 10 days, and then check us out. And then notice verse 13. And then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Now, your countenance is your face, your facial expression and your face. So these are junior age boys at that time. They were taken as children, and now they're just around junior age. And they said, hey, check our faces and see if we're breaking out. Check our faces and see if our face is very oily, or see if we've solved that problem. Give us right food, and that's going to help us. Listen, you don't eat junk food and get a good complexion. And what teenager doesn't love junk food? They could live off pizza and pop. They could live off a candy bar. They could live off this and live on that. But help them with their diet, because you're going to find that once you start breaking out, you don't stop it just because you stop eating pizza. It takes a while. So help them there. Establish guidelines and let them work within them. Promote cleanliness and skin care program for your teenagers as well. Don't let their hair get greasy. Shampoo your hair, son. Wash your hair. Don't let them have just two hairs hanging off their lip. I know they're 14 and they want to show it. Looky there, you know. But take the tweezers and pluck that thing out of there. Don't give them a razor. They'd hurt themselves. Just pluck it out. And but don't let them look scruffy, and, you know, let them grow a beard if they want one. When they grow one, and it looks like one, you know. Rob, I think you got one that looks like one. That's a beard. So when they're old enough to grow it, you let them grow it out. Now, so promote cleanliness and skin care program. Instruct them in hair care, makeup, color coordination. I see some people on television, their moms never told them about color coordination. They got stripes and plaid and paisley going all over the place, and colors that don't even belong in the same room, much less on the same person. And it's like, whoa, what were they thinking? They probably thought it was Halloween and they were dressing up. I don't know. But teach them about, some of you ladies, you know about those things. You know, we always have to say, does this go with this? Is this okay? I've got, I don't know how many ties, a bunch of them. And I always say, is it this one or this one? Honey, which one you think? She said, well, you usually wear that one. Well, I haven't seen you with this one. Why don't you just wear this one today? This is the first time I've ever worn this tie. I've had it in the rack for months. I've never worn it before. She said, it'll be something different. I said, okay. I'll wear something different. Get some help. Get some advice from your wife. Let her color coordinate you and dress. But do that for the teenagers. Be a help to them. Ladies, every once in a while, you ought to look at your teen girl and say, you got to change. That's too tight. That's too short. That's too this. That's too that. You remember, they're teenagers. They're growing. And as they grow, sometimes that clothes needs to be given away and get some other stuff. By the way, when you're adults, we have that same problem. We have that same problem. We have to go give them away. They won't buckle anymore. I don't know why. Several years ago, I started taking my diabetes a little more seriously and had to lose about 20 pounds. But, you know, I had to give away a whole wardrobe. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, I'd have to lap my breeches about 3 inches over and put the belts around, and it just never looked very good. I had to give them all away. I went to Goodwill with like 40 suits. I took 60 pair of pants. I took 80 shirts. I don't know what your vice is. Clothes is mine. Some people collect cars. They're too expensive. Clothes. But I got those smaller clothes because I didn't want to get tempted to go back. So, ladies, don't have all three sizes. This is the diet size, and this is during the diet, and this is after it's over. And you know, don't have a range of sizes you're going to choose from. Throw the stuff away and just stick with one, and it's going to help you. And teach your teenagers those things. Teach them to not run after fads. You want your teenager to have confidence in themselves, not in their tennis shoes, not in their pullovers, not in their hoodies, not in their shirts, not in their sweaters. The confidence ought to be in them, and who they are in Christ. Not in what they wear and what brand and what logo has and all this. If you chase after that, you'll spend the rest of your life and the rest of your money trying to get status with your clothes or with your possessions or with your home or with your car or those things. Let it be about you and your relationship with God, not about peripheral things. So give your teenager help with their appearance. And I have at least 3 minutes here now to keep my word. General suggestions. Let me give you some general suggestions. Be consistent. A teenager will despise inconsistency and hypocrisy. Let's skip that next verse and let's go to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. Moreover, this is speaking about Solomon. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. If he be constant. Teach them to be consistent. Don't do a good job mowing the yard and then a bad job the next time. Don't do a good job washing the car and then a bad time the next time. Be consistent, son. Don't turn in your homework one time, but not the next time. Just be consistent. Do right all the time. And they're teenagers. You're going to have to sort of stay after them a little bit. But you got to teach them that lesson. Because when you get hired one day, your boss expects you to work hard every day. You can't say, hey, I've worked hard 5 days in a row. I'm just loafing today. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not how life is. Oh, I've been so loving and kind to my wife for 2 weeks in a row. I'm just going to stop doing that for one day. Oh, man. It'll take you another 2 weeks to dig out of that hole you just put yourself in. Don't do that. Don't do that. So teach them. A teenager will despise inconsistency and hypocrisy. When you're raising your teenager, the best thing you can do is be constant. Be consistent. Be consistent. They don't want you to say one thing and do another. They don't want you to say one thing and do another. And by the way, unless you're a perfect person, you're finding times that sometimes you say something and it didn't work out and it makes it look like you're just doing another. But just be honest with your teenagers and let them know they despise hypocrisy. That's one of the reasons teenagers and young adults get out as a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and then they do another. You're not a hypocrite if you can't live up to everything you believe. You're a hypocrite if you tell everyone you live up to everything you believe. Just be real. They don't mind you being flawed. They just want you to be transparent. They want you to be real. Not act like, oh, I got my act together, you get yours. Say, son, I'm struggling like you are. Let's struggle together and live for God. Let's struggle together and raise a good family. They love transparency in their parents, but they despise hypocrisy. Secondly, don't buddy them, be their parent. Now, let me tell you how old this lesson is. I put down, don't be hip, be real. You teenagers don't even know what hip is. You're thinking, hip? What hip? Right hip? Left hip? What? Just be real. Don't try to fit in with all the teens. Don't be the life of the party when the teen gets around. Let them sort of do things themselves. Don't buddy them, but be their parent. Third thing, listen to them and communicate with them. Listen to them, communicate with them. Just like the number one thing a wife wants is a husband who will listen to her. Listen to her. I had to learn a long time ago. I thought every time Vicki mentioned something, she was wanting a problem solved. She didn't want the problem solved. She just wanted to vent. She just wanted to talk to me about the problem. I want to say, well, I'll solve that right now. She didn't want that. She just wanted to talk and me to listen. So when she says, let's have a talk, I found out it means I ought to listen. I thought she meant let's talk, and I thought, well, I'll start talking then. But she didn't want to hear me talk. She wanted me to listen. And that's true with your teenagers. They want to talk. They want to tell you about their day. They want to tell you what they've learned. They want to tell you how things are going with them and their friends. They want to tell you how the youth group's going. They want to tell you about what God's doing in their life. Let them talk. Always keep your word to them. Always keep your word to them. Psalms 15, verse 1 and verse 4. Verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And now look at verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. You told them you would do this, and now you find out it's going to cost you more than you said. You've got to still do that. You gave a promise. It's going to hurt you to keep it. But you got to keep it. And especially with a teenager. When you don't keep your promise, you've broken covenant with them. It's like you've lied. I thought you were godly. You're of the devil. You lie. Honestly, they're going to be like, my mama told me this and it's not so. Their whole world crashes down. Don't let that happen. You keep your promise, whatever it costs you. If you've got to go borrow money to keep your word, you keep your word. I told you I'd give you a car. I'm giving you a car. I didn't tell you you had to push it, but it's a car. Anyway, keep your word. Here's another thing. Fifth thing, ask their counsel. Ask their counsel. The best way to show your teenager how you esteem them is to ask them questions. Son, what do you think about this? Mom and I are trying to make a decision about where on go on vacation and what we should do with the family. What do you think about that, son? What do you think we should do? They're going to grow in wisdom when they think you're searching for answers from them. Wow, my dad asked me. I can't believe it. He must think I'm an adult. That's the best thing you can do for your kids is ask their counsel. This will build wisdom and self-esteem in them. Here's number 6 or 7. Confess your failures. Confess your failures to your children. Your teens will admire your confession of your imperfections, and they will accept you for being real and not a fake. And by the way, when you confess your imperfections, you're not telling them something they don't already know. So whether you confess it or not, they know. But when you confess it, it's like you're being real. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And let me tell you, that righteous man or that righteous woman could be your teenager. Your teenagers are sometimes better prayer warriors than even we as moms and dads. Especially our group of teenagers. They're wonderful, godly prayer warriors, wonderful people, young ladies, young men. I have great, great confidence in them. I still remember Teen Sunday. What a blessing that was to listen to our teenagers sing and preach and pray and serve. That gives them wisdom. It gives them self-esteem. The best thing about Teen Sunday is this, from my perspective. It lets our teenagers know that we believe in them. We believe in them. And we ought to let them know that as teenagers. Don't wait till they're in their 20s. You believe in them right now. Here's the last one. Don't ever belittle your teenager, even when punishment is due. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 5. Deuteronomy 8:5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. So as a man chastens his son, that's how God chastens us. But let's look at how God chastens us. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and... Notice that phrase. I love that phrase. And abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. You know what that means? God doesn't ever say to us, it's about time you ask me. Lord, I don't know what to do. Well, you haven't known for years, but now you're asking. Well, okay, I guess I'll help. That's abrading. Don't do that. Don't ever belittle them. Dad, I was trying to put gas in and it wouldn't fit. What's wrong? Well, son, did it have a green handle over the, of course we're in Oregon, we can't pump our own anyway. But you know, that diesel thing won't fit in the gas. That it's not made. Oh. Don't worry, son, I made that same problem when I was young. Don't ever belittle them as though you've always known everything. You got to realize there was a day you didn't know. Someone had to train you. Someone had to teach you. So don't belittle your teenagers, and never in public. Never in public. You have teenagers over and they're making a little too much noise. Don't go, hey, cut it out. What do you think this is? This is our home. You've got to behave yourself. You've just belittled your teenager. It's better to come and say, man, y'all are a happy group. What's going on? He just told us, let me hear the joke. Let me laugh with you. So never belittle them. Never put the spotlight of shame on your teenager. When you have to correct them, you get alone with them and say, son, I need to talk to you. Daughter, whatever you call your daughter, I always called my daughter Princess or Sweetie. I never called her name. I always called her little names. Sweetie, Princess, I got to talk to you here. This is what has to happen. Treat them like an adult, and you'll find that your teenagers will love you, and they'll be a great blessing the rest of your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had in the Lord's Supper. Thank you for this time we've had in instruction. And I pray, dear Father, it'd be beneficial to all of our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.